It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. If you are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle.
Now, we were looking at the factors of change. God is all powerful. He can change anything he chooses to change at any time. It doesn't matter what the situation is, God could change it at any time. Now what we make it easy for you to understand what I'm saying is that there was a woman called Mary. She was a virgin, and yet she gave birth to a child. The Bible said in Luke chapter 1 verse 37 that with God, all things are possible. If you put it in another way, with God, anything is possible. So, that situation in your life, as far as God is concerned, the change is possible. Interestingly, God so loved you that he created you with the same ability to produce changes in your life. You would have preferred all the responsibilities on God. I just don't want to change anything. When I need a change, he does it and then I'm fine with me. God could do that. But God is so loving and caring that he wants you to participate in the God kind of life. You wouldn't have a child and that child grows up, you want him to remain a child. You keep baiting him at 15 years old, you are still baiting him. You don't want a child like that. You don't want a child that you are baiting at 15. And at 21, you are feeding him. Open your mouth. You don't want that kind of a child. Or at 25, you still set the table and say, the food is ready. Could you please come and eat? And then she eats and goes back to the room. Then you come and clear the table. She's 25 years old. Her wedding is next month. And then you clear the table. You don't want a child like that. You rather want your children to grow up. You have a visitor. And then you say, wait, my son is around. He's on home for the holiday. Just hold on. Michael, come and say hi to my friend. And then your son comes out. He said, my friend is paying a visit. This is my son, Michael. He's a medical doctor. Elizabeth? Lizzie! Come and say hi to my friend. And Elizabeth comes out. You say, Elizabeth just graduated from law school. She's a lawyer, you know. And then I'm sure you like that. And then you start to tell them, guess what? You were talking about my television being changed. It was Elizabeth. You talked about the other thing that, your house is looking more beautiful than the last time I came. It's Michael that did everything. You don't like a child when he's 35 years old. You are still going to look for a shirt to buy. Now, if you being a man or woman, you are like that, what do you think about God? You want to raise your child to be like you and even be better than you. That same thing with God. Did you remember when Jesus came on earth physically? He said, the wonders that you see me do, they that believe on me, they shall do this kind of works too. Even greater than these shall they do. That's God. Jesus says, the Father and I, we are the same. The same way God thinks, that's the same way Jesus thinks. So when Jesus was saying, they that believe on me, they will do likewise, the kind of works that I'm doing, they will do even greater than this. He was thinking like his Father God. So God does not want you to come in life And then you are living a beggarly life. Oh God, please help me. I want a change. No, God wants you to be able to produce changes in your own life as well. Does it mean I shouldn't pray to him to change my situation? I want him to do this. Relax. Some of you may have heard my testimony. I got a job somewhere and then, you know, some years ago. And then the assistant manager came up to me and said, after trying to get me to resign from the job, I was still under probation. I mean, just resume. Few weeks, he started to tell me, leave this job. He gave me different reasons why I should leave the job. I said, I don't think so. Then one day he came up to me. He said, listen, if you don't quit this job by yourself, we will make sure you get fired. And then he turned back and he was walking away. And then I called him by his name. He turned back and I said to him, listen, not you, nor anyone. I didn't even know who was who in the company. I didn't care. Not you, not anyone is able to determine when I leave this place. Only one person can determine when I leave this place, and that is me. That kind of work was too small for God in heaven to be taken care of. I will take care of it here and let him rest. He has trained me enough to do such things. Apostle Peter said we have been called into a divine life. And the life we have been called into is a life that we should rule and reign in life. You should not be beaten about by the circumstances of your life. God wants you to grow up and be able to take charge. You begin to determine what happens and what don't happen in your life. That's the life we have been called into. You can't be a child of God and you'll be beaten about by circumstances. No. Now, I'm showing to you that there are certain things God has put in you. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible said, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. What does that mean? God was saying, when we create man, he should be a copy of us. Such that when you see man and you see God, they are alike. He will have the same characteristics like God. He says, and after our likeness, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, likeness means he should function like us, like father, like son. He should function like us. So listen, brothers and sisters, don't think that man looks like animal. You are missing the point. The physical man that you are seeing on the outside might look like an animal, but the spirit man that is the real man who is on the inside, that one looks like God. So the real you looks like God. And now, the real you does not just look like God for looking like God's sake. He has the abilities, the same characteristics like God has. It is not news to you that you are a spirit. You are a spirit being. You are a spirit being. You are not just an ordinary human being just walking the face of the earth. No, you are a spirit being. And the Bible said, Jesus said, God is a spirit. So you are a spirit as God is a spirit. Everyone has got a mind. Listen, it's not just you that got a mind. God also have a mind. Is it strange to you that God has a mind? He has a mind. If God doesn't have a mind, where did you get your own mind from? From God. He gave you a mind because he has a mind. He wants you to be an exact copy of him, like father, like son, an image of God. That was what he said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. He says, so God created man in his image. Verse 27, next verse. He says, so God created man in his own image. God was looking at himself when he was creating you. In his own image, created he him. Verse 26 again, he says, let us create man, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. In other words, he should function like us. You have been created to function like God. If you're not functioning yet like God, it's possibly because you just didn't know who you are. And by the time you know who you are, you begin to function as such. Don't journey through life ignorant. Discover the truth about you and put it to work. My elder brother is a professor in America. The first time he was traveling to America, he's been in America now for decades, but the first time he was traveling to America, he was in this journey from one flight to another, okay? And The flight took more than one day. While in the flight, he will see they will serve people with food. They will serve people with food. When they come to him, he said, no, I'm okay. Don't worry. Go serve everybody. Everybody's eating. A few other people also didn't eat. You know, just one or two people didn't eat. It was amongst those who didn't eat. Then, another flight, they're serving food. They come to him. He says, no, don't worry. Then, the last flight, he thought in his mind, do you have an idea why he was not eating? I don't have an extra money for this. It might be expensive. I don't know. He didn't know that he has paid for the food when he paid for the ticket. So he remained hungry all this journey. The last flight, he said, I will try this thing. Then when they were taking food around, he said, can I have a bottle of water? They gave him water. He said, I will see if they will ask me to pay for this water and I will see how expensive it is. So when he was leaving the plane at the end of the flight, he was said, nobody has come to ask me for money. And he left. He said, they didn't ask me for money. He was picked up at the airport and taken home. So he was asking the guy that picked him up. He says, the food in the plane, who pays for it? The food in the plane, who pays for it? The people paid for it. Those who buy the ticket, they paid for it when you were paying the ticket. You paid for it. He said, oh, wait, did I pay for the food on those flights? He said, yes, you did. And when did I pay for you? When you bought the ticket? He went through the journey not eating one of the meals. Brothers and sisters, don't go through life without tasting the divine life. We have been called unto the life of divinity. We are not ordinary human beings. You've got to have a taste of it. He has called us into a life of glory and virtue. God wants you to participate. You are his child. He doesn't want you to see you live life through suffering and beggarly. No, he wants you to participate in the kind of life that he has. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And 12, that anyone, God has designed it that he put the God kind of life in Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, that walked the face of this earth. God put the God kind of life in him. The God kind of life that left Adam when Adam sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. That God kind of life left Adam. Adam became an ordinary human being. That God kind of life, God put it inside Jesus when Jesus was walking the face of the earth. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 4. Now, God put that kind of life inside Jesus. And Jesus was walking the face of the earth. And people saw him and they thought they were seeing an ordinary carpenter. But the truth was that was the word of God carrying the God kind of life that left Adam in the Garden of Eden. He was walking on the streets of Jerusalem with that God kind of life. He was walking. Now, the disciples understood it. Because when he asked them, who do men say that I am? They said this and that. He said, but who do you say that I am? They said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Ah, he said, you guys have seen something. The Holy Spirit must have revealed these things to you. Keep it to yourself for the meantime. Because there was something going on the streets of Jerusalem, Bethany, as he was moving, Galilee, he was moving about. That was the very life of God that left Adam. God put it in Jesus and he was walking the streets. And people were looking at him, thought he was an ordinary human being. But that was the life of God that was walking the streets of Jerusalem. In him was Zoe, the God kind of life. And that life was the light of men. Men, after Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, became blind. They were dead. They lost sight of reality. Their life became filled with darkness. They became ordinary men, just living and groping in the dark, not knowing what life is all about. But when Jesus came and God put that life away that left Adam, he put it in Jesus. So Jesus was carrying that life about on the street and they were watching him. And then the truth was, he was carrying that life, Zoe. The God kind of life. That means God, God. He was carrying that life and was walking the streets of Jerusalem. And then the Bible says, that life, the God kind of life, is the light of men. When he comes to men, he lightens their life up. He lightens your life. Your life will not be the same the moment you receive Jesus into your life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. He said, this is the record. It doesn't matter how you felt from the day you received Jesus. He's showing you that it is not your feeling that is the issue here. He said, there is a record. God recorded something down. The moment you receive Jesus into your life, he says, this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, the God kind of life, the Zoe life, the God kind of life. You already have it, brothers and sisters. Now listen to me. The people that knew you before you became a Christian, they still look at you. They still think you are the same person they knew before. They are making a mistake. It's the same way they saw Jesus walking on the streets of Jerusalem and thought they were looking at a carpenter. That's the same way they look at some of you and say, he's a driver. They look at the other one, they say, he's just a painter. They look at the other one, they think he's just a doctor. They look at that, they think she's just a nurse. They are looking at the outside, but they don't know the truth. Jesus was looking at the Jews. He says, you are from beneath, but I am from above. Brothers and sisters, people could look at you and think you are ordinary. You are not ordinary. You are from above, because there is a spirit that is inside you. He says, and this is the record. God's got the record. It doesn't matter what the people of the world think. God's got the record. He says, and this is the record that God had given to us. Heart means already. He has already given to us the God kind of life. And this life is in his son. That life is in his son. Next verse, verse 12. He says, he that hath the son, the moment you receive Jesus Christ, it didn't matter whether you felt anything. God says, forget about your feeling. I got the record here. He says, I got the record. The moment you receive Jesus into your life, he says, you receive eternal life. He that had the son had Zoe. He that had the son of God had the God kind of life. You are not an ordinary human being. God needs you to understand who you are and wake up and begin to function as who you are. You just need to know that you are not ordinary. And then, since you know you are not ordinary, you start to function as a person who is not ordinary. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Now, God was training Abraham to understand the kind of person that he is. You are not just an ordinary human being. There is something you really are. You can act like me. You can function like me. He was training Abraham to understand that. You can function like me. God was talking to Abraham. Let's get on to Abraham. And Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Next verse. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Next verse. Now, Abram with his nephew, Lot. God had called Abram in Genesis chapter 12 and said to him, leave everything. Leave your father's house, everything, your kindred, your nativity. Leave everything. Come to a land that I will show you. Now, the word that was written show there is S-H-E-W, which was translated from the Hebrew word revealed to you. So God was not talking to Abraham that the land that I will just show to you physically. There was something more than that. Another day we look at that. Now he says, come and I will show you a land. Now you will dwell in that land and I'm going to bless you. And when I bless you, I will make you a blessing. Through you shall the nations of the earth be blessed. In other words, Abraham, you will become the reference point of blessing on this earth. Abraham left all and journeyed. He got to Haran. God says he's still moving forward. And then he got to Cana. Now, while he was in the land of Cana, God had begun to bless him. Listen, anyone that is connected to Abraham and also anyone by extension that is connected to you automatically is blessed of God. So God had told Abraham that you become a reference point for blessing. Any person that is connected to you is blessed automatically. If anyone blesses you, I will bless him. That was in Genesis chapter 12. Now, This guy, Lot, his nephew, walked with him, traveled with him as he was journeying to where God says to go to. And as God was blessing Abraham, automatically, blessing was rubbing off on Lot too. Verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. But God didn't call him. Where was God blessing him? Because he was connected to Abraham. Next verse. Now, look at that. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Only two men, the whole town could not contain them. When God chooses to bless you, you'll be a wonder. And guess what, brothers and sisters? Guess what, brothers and sisters? You and I have been blessed with the same kind of blessing that was on Abraham. Now, Abraham saw that it's becoming an issue. Sometimes the herdsman of Lot is arguing with the herdsman of Abraham. No, you were here yesterday. You go to... I said, no. There's no reason to argue over this. He called Lot, his brother, and said, Lot, my nephew. You didn't even call him nephew. He said, Lot, my brother, the whole land is still big. Only this town, we shouldn't just settle in, is very big. You choose which way you want to take. I will take the other side. If you take west, I will go to the east. If you choose east, I will go to the west. Ah, when Lord heard that, he said, okay, uncle, that's a good idea. You want me to choose first? He said, yes, choose any side you wish to go. He said, thank you, uncle. Lord went and climbed up on a mountain and looked everywhere. When he looked on one side, wow, that side was so green. In fact, the way he saw it, it looked like the Garden of Eden. And then he said to Uncle, actually, I don't. It's hard to choose. But anyway, I will just go this way. So, he thought his uncle doesn't know what he's doing. But Uncle Abraham knows that the best way to choose is not to use your physical eyes. The best way to choose is to use your mind. So Lot used his eyes and he went to the side he chose. So Abraham said, it's all good. I'll go this other side. And Lot moved to the side that he had chosen. Verse 11. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east and separated himself. Verse 12. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan and Lot dwelt in the cities. Next verse, 13. Now, but the men of Sodom were wicked. But this guy didn't know. He followed what he could see. Now, I'll give you the summary of the story. Lot went towards the beautiful side, not knowing that there were wicked men beyond the green grass. And he got there and he eventually lost everything that he brought from this place that God had blessed him with. And if he was wise, he would not have separated himself from Abraham. Because it was in connection to Abraham that his blessing was coming. Brothers and sisters, if God connects you to a source of blessing, be wise. Now, God said to Abraham, after that Lot was separate from him. Now, let's look at this. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. God said, lift up now thine eyes from the place where you are. Now, from the place where you are, there's not much you can see. So God wasn't telling him to lift up his physical eyes. God was telling him, lift up your mind. Use your mind and see as far as you like. Begin to see as far as you like. Abraham didn't just look at all the little towns around. He lifted up his mind and saw up to the horizon. He was seen to the end of the earth. As far as your eyes can see, Abraham said, I can see the whole earth. God said, if you can see the whole earth is yours. Including the little place all the Lot went to. The power of your mind. God, the earth was described as the inheritance of Abraham. Now, Lot ended up in a little cave with his two daughters and nothing more than that. But when Abraham was going to leave the earth, the Bible said Abraham was rich in all things, in children, in cattle, in whatever you can think about. They were all available to Abraham in gold, in silver, in whatever you could think. He was so rich that the kings in the neighborhood feared Abraham because he used the mind power that God gave to him. Listen, let me tell you something. God created every living creature with a mind that is connected to their DNA. Last week, I showed to you how Jacob became much richer than Laban, his uncle. Now, he was trying to explain to his wives how he got the wealth. He said, the angel of God came to me and told me, Jacob, use your mind. You can use your mind and transform your life. In Genesis chapter 30, from verse 27, Jacob had told his uncle Laban that he was going to leave. And his uncle was negotiating with him. Please don't go. I have observed, he says, for, I'll read it. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, if you still like me at all, please don't go. Tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord had blessed me for thy sake. Which means the blessing that Jacob carried away from his father Abraham, he carried it to Laban's house. And because he entered Laban's house, blessing was locating that man, Jacob. Where is he? And the blessing found him in the house of Jacob. And blessing began to pour in the house of Laban. Anywhere you go in life, blessing is tracing you. You can never go to a place and that place is not blessed. Anywhere you enter, if there was poverty, wealth comes into that house. You need to be conscious of this because God has done it in you. You get a job in a company, that company is favored. Automatically, they start to grow. They start to increase on every side. Why? Because you are there. He said, God is blessing me. I have learned by experience that the Lord had blessed me for thy sake. Now, he didn't even say because of thee. He said for thy sake. Which means God is looking for how to channel blessing into Jacob. So he didn't see how to get in there. The blessing has to pass through Laban. So God poured blessing in the life of Laban so that from Laban, the blessing can end up in the life of Jacob. So Laban was smart. He understood that this guy is carrying some blessing. Please don't go. Otherwise, the flow might stop. Then Jacob said, if that's the case, let's strike a deal. Meanwhile, the angel has told him the secret of wealth is in your mind. So he said, let's strike a deal because he was looking for how to put that ability to work. He said, let's strike a deal. From henceforth, any animal that gives birth to a ring streak, they will be mine. All the ones that are pure and all of that, they will be yours. Let's go to the next verse 30. For it was little when he said, you know that all the things you had was very small when I came. But God has increased it. Go to the next verse. 31. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. Next verse. And I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And of such shall be my hire. Next verse. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. I'll tell you what Jacob was telling Laban. He said, okay, let's remove all the spotted and speckled. He mentioned the ones that are not likely going to happen. He said, I will take those ones will be my own. But the ones that are likely going to happen, they are yours. So Jacob, Laban said, I've been trying to cheat this guy all this while. He is now cheating himself. He said, a very good deal. He signed before you said it. Let's continue with this deal forever. So they started. He doesn't know something. That this guy has got a revelation. That there is power in the mind. So, Laban took all the other ones, all the clean one. He took them out. Took them for 3 days away from where Jacob was. He said, Jacob, over to you. This guy's making himself poor. He doesn't know what he's saying. Listen, a Christian could never be poor in his life. If you are a Christian, even if you are not rich, if you don't see wealth around you, it's just because you have not seen it. But inside you, you are actually carrying wealth. It is yours by nature. Naturally, wealth is inside you. Last week, we saw it in chapter 31 of this same Genesis, how Jacob was telling his wives that the angel came to me and said, now lift up thine eyes, which means all this while, his mind has been down. He says, but from now, lift up the eyes of your mind. So the ability of his mind has always been there, but he was not using it. But this was the time to start using it. I will tell you quickly what Jacob did. Chapter 30, if you just read on towards the bottom, verse 31, you're going to see what Jacob did. Jacob said, God told me that every of my creature that I've created with a mind has a power in their mind that links their mind to their DNA. It links, there's power in their mind. So what did Jacob do? Jacob went and cut ring straight on chestnut tree. The back of a chestnut, he cut ring straight on there. And he, you know, after doing that, he brought them before the animals. He knows that these animals, they have mind too. He knows that the animals have mind. So he put those things before them as they were coming to drink water and as they were mating. He will put it before them and they will be looking at it. He knows that he was creating a picture in their mind. And the picture they have in their mind will affect their DNA. And when Jacob keep doing that, Laban was shocked when he came. All the animals that were being born, they were born with ring straight, what is going on here? Jacob was applying the secret that the angel of God revealed to him. That angel was sent by God, who created the whole universe, because God knows there is power in every mind. That power can affect everything around you. It can affect your finance, it can affect your marriage, it can affect your circumstance, it can affect your DNA. When I discovered in the word of God, as Reverend Tom was preaching, that the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is in my body. When I discovered that and I realized that I was never supposed to be sick, it filled my mind and my DNA was rescheduled. Everything was rearranged. There was no possibility of sickness in my body anymore. And I began to declare everywhere I went, I could never be sick in my life again. I could never be sick. It doesn't matter what disease or germs I contact. In at contact, that is the same thing. Why? Because my mind received the picture of a healthy man who has the same health like God who created him in his image. I'm going to round up by giving you an understanding of what you need to do from henceforth. Listen, as you are hearing God's word now, let me tell you the truth. It's creating a picture in your mind. A picture of a person that could never be broken in life. A picture of a person that could never be sick in life. A picture of a person that could never be defeated in life. A picture of a person that could never be frustrated in life. A picture of a person that is born to be successful in life. The picture of a victor, irrespective of the circumstance. It doesn't matter what challenge the devil brings to your way. You have won already. You have won already. Your life is not ordinary.
The picture God is putting in your mind, it will carry your life to the next level. You are not ordinary. There is greatness in your life. It's about to manifest.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. If you have not been born again, I want to lead you into salvation right now, the Bible way. This is your opportunity to receive salvation. Say these words after me and mean them from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, "Oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross to save my soul. I believe God raised Him from the dead, and He is alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I am a child of God. From this day, amen." Congratulations, you are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please send us an email at info@cesydney.org. That is info@cesydney.org. God bless you.